the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I dwell in His house forever. Hallelujah. Because better is one day in His courts than anywhere else. I've tried many things. I've tasted many things outside of the things of God. And you know, I found out that there's nothing better than being in good communion with my Father in heaven. Everything is just all right when I'm connected to Him. Hallelujah. You know what the cool thing about being in His courts is? You can be anywhere. You can be at a soccer field. You can be driving. You can be at the market and just make a little tent right there in your heart, you know, and just feel His presence around you. Better is one day in His courts. Hallelujah. But of course, it's even better. It's amplified. We're all here together to worship the Lord. Together, something happens. There's a spiritual synergy, you know, where God just says, oh, I'm blessing my people. So the title of my message is When Not Enough is Enough. And think about it, as we're talking about BBS and we're talking about making an impact in the community, when we're talking about just, you know, can God really use me, you know, we think, I don't have enough. I'm not enough. I don't have this or that. But there's a time when not enough is enough. When not enough is enough. So I want to go to John chapter 6. Verses 1 through 14, that's going to be our base scripture. And we're going to get into this right away. Excuse me. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His signs, which He performed, and those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this He said to test him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. I think another scripture says, you know, 6 months' wages would not be enough for everybody to get a bite. You know, just no way we could feed this people. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Amen. Great scripture. And then it says, let's go back to this. It says, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. God wants to do something amazing. You know, He wants to show Himself. We've heard the prophetic word. We know it's harvest time. God is doing great things all across the city. I don't want to give you the full testimony, but this week I got to participate in leading a co-worker to the Lord right in His office. You know, and just somebody I've been praying for a long time. And so God is doing great things. Anyway, when you have something that is life-giving, it begins to attract people. People, all of us, want to connect to life-giving people and to life-giving environments. But as things grow and multiply, we begin to have some problems. We begin to have some disorder. In this case, there were 5,000 men plus women and children. Some say, based on estimates on the size of families back then, it could have been up to 35,000 people. You know, it was just 30 to 35,000 people. So let's say, so a huge crowd posed a big problem. They had been following Jesus for a while, and naturally, they got hungry. That's why we added donuts and coffee and refreshments out there. So, I see you guys sneaking out. Yeah. So as the word spread about this prophet from Nazareth named Jesus, and that He would speak words which were more powerful than anything that they had ever heard, and not only that He could back it up with signs and wonders, the crowds began to form. But with the crowds came some intrinsic problems. What we would call good problems. Right? If no one was following, that would be a bad problem. But in this case, there were a lot of people. So I want to show you a slide. When we see the magnitude of a need, our human nature is to think, I don't have enough. What I bring is not adequate. I am not ready. Is it popping up here? No? There we go. I do not have time. I have enough on my plate. But I want to tell you, there's a time when not enough is enough. Some may say, I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't know enough about the Bible. And another place where something like this happened was in Acts chapter 6. The first church began to grow rapidly. And as the church grew, the disciples were reaching so many people that they began to neglect the Hellenistic Jews, or the Jews whose primary language was Greek. So if they're coming together, God gave them a strategy. Hey, let's enlist some people, a few men of great reputation, who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and let's call them to take care of these things so that we can continue to focus on the study and the teaching of the Word and on prayer. So that's when the first deacons were appointed. We have deacons. That's what they do. They serve. Deacon simply means servant or attendant or even waiter. Just people that are there to serve. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just want to tell you, God wants his family to be enlarged. He wants to enlarge his family, and you're like, when is he coming back? Well, God is being patient. He's not slack. It's not like he's forgotten about us. He's still working some things out throughout the world to ensure that all the people that, you know, he predestined, you know, to come into the family, or that he foreknew ahead of time, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He can see everything from the beginning to end. He's already seen the end of the movie. He's read the end of the book. He has Mac wrote the end of the book. And so there's people all around the globe that are coming in. And we've heard it today. That is happening. I really have sensed in my spirit that a harvest is about to break out. You're going to begin to see the gospel preach in places you never thought about. Yes, we've seen the Tebows, and we see the Kathleen Gifford, you know, just giving her testimony right there in Good Morning America, you know, and just the Jesus being spread in places. You're like, wow, how's that coming? You know, and please don't judge me for saying that, but even President Trump, you know, you're like, well, he's not the nicest guy in the world. He's not. But you know what? Somehow he's making declarations, you know, for Christians and also for Israel. And you know, he's trying to get that embassy happening. Things are unfolding before our eyes. You know, this thing about Korea, for those of you that have been in the military, I've heard that just the mere fact that it happened is momentous. It's historic. Maybe some of us are so far removed from that situation, the ceasefire, the militarized zone. You know, that conflict never ended. It's just in a ceasefire. It's in a standstill. They have guards on either side of the demilitarized zone, the DMZ, just looking at each other. And for the guy from North Korea, who we have pegged as a maniac, now to come across and shake the hand. And the people of South Korea are saying, you know what? We need to give Trump a Nobel Prize. You know, peace prize for what he's doing. You know, all I'm trying to say is that stage, is that time in the clock of history where God is saying, I am coming back for my people. And so we need to be about the Father's business. So things are going to grow. But as things grow, you know, he needs to enlist some of us into his service. That's why I'm talking about BBS. I want you to get involved, because something happens. We'll begin to rub each other. Relationships begin to happen. You know, some of you made friends with people you weren't friends with. Or you strengthened a relationship as you came together during BBS. Just because you had the time. You know, that is really the secret of volunteers. When people come to volunteer in a certain area of the body, you know, while they're, you know, preparing something, they're talking to their friend, blah, 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 you know, how's it going, this and that. Oh, you have a prayer request? Oh, let's pray right now, you know. And so a lot of ministry happens just by coming together. Amen? Woo! So in the story that we saw, the news of his message had spread, and crowds were so hungry for something real and life-giving, different from everything they had heard, even in the religious circles. This message of Jesus was just different. And I really believe, you know, God is pulling the wool. He's lifting up the blinders from people. That is my prayer all the time. That's what, you know, Paul talked about in Acts chapter 26. It says that he will take the people from darkness into the light and just remove the blinders from them. And all of a sudden they're like, who is this God? Who is this God? This person, you know, that I got to lead to the Lord, just, you know, all of a sudden he's understanding spiritual principles that, you know, like, why he's getting this stuff? How is he getting this stuff? You know, the word says that no one can come to the Father unless he draw him first. It has to be a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And today we heard Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and in the last day I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and there's going to be dreams and vision. This is the time that we're talking about. He's going to do it by His Spirit. If His Spirit hits you, there's no way you can't change. There's no way you're not going to be on fire. There's no way you're not going to begin to do things you never thought you could. It's just the way it is. Matthew 7, 20 and 29 says, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching." It's like their eyes were opened. "For he taught them as one," what? "Having authority, and not as the scribes. Because deep comes unto deep." Your spirit is hungry for something. And when it hears it, when it senses it, and when God makes it ready, it just drinks of it. And it's just as when you hear the truth come from the truth giver, and life is broadcasted by the life giver, people just begin to follow. They begin to fall into their place in history. This is the time. I don't understand why I received the Lord, you know, when I was eight. But there's people that received the Lord, you know, late in life. I don't understand God's purposes, but I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that He made a way for me. I truly don't deserve it. I truly don't deserve it. We were singing that today. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. We need to humble ourselves. And I think this is common, this is casual. What is happening today is a revival. And it's not common. He's holy, He's other, He's different, He's special. Hallelujah. And some, yes, follow Him for not the best reasons, but they knew He was different. So Jesus began to challenge some of them. He says, "You only follow me because I give you some bread." And after being challenged, many stopped following Him. Then He turned to His disciples and said, "Do you want to go away?" But what did Peter say? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Better is one day in your courts than elsewhere. I've tasted many things, but I've tasted your goods, and they're better than anybody else's. I can't get away from you, God." Hallelujah. "You have the words of eternal life," says verse 67. "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. So those of us who know that He is the Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, the Son of the living God, He's calling us to serve. He's calling us to serve, to take our place in the body. But He's not asking for something that He has not already provided for. He's not asking something of you that He hasn't already provided or made provision. Or made a way for you. Okay, let's go back to the scriptures. Look at John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. We already read this. "Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" But look at verse 6. "But this He said to test them. For He Himself knew what He would do. When He enlists us, when He calls us, when He saves us, He already has a plan for you. Just like He had a plan for somebody else to serve so that you could come and be saved, now He's using you, you know, to bring others to Him, that they also may come in into the family of Christ. So the first thing that God does for His people, like we see here with Philip, is He opens your eyes to a spiritual need. So I never noticed that before. You know, there's a need. There's a need in the body. There's a need in the community. There's a need somewhere that I could fill. You know, all of a sudden, God just began to prompt me to begin to pray differently for my workplace. I began to pray for my battalion. I began to pray for my coworkers and to bless my higher-ups. And I began to see that the doors began to open, you know, for the gospel. You know, on the 30th of this month, actually that week of the 30th, there's going to be 3 Bible studies started at our battalion. Yes. There's going to be one at lunchtime, you know, in our battalion headquarters. And you, some of you have met Chaplain Javon Seaborn. You know, he's my brother. You know, we're just tag teaming over there. And he's going to have another one in the DFAC for the students. And he's going to have another one over there but near Libby for you guys, the Gray Eagle types. You know, so he's got some for you. So if you can make it, you know, it'd be great if you can make it to those, you know, and bring someone else with you. Hallelujah. So it could have been something that he brings to you that you have seen before, but you never really noticed it. Sometimes we get a little institutionalized, and we need Jesus' outsider point of view to show us a need. And then comes the challenge. Go out and take care of this need, because he's going to challenge you. Like, look what he's doing with Philip. Hey, how are we going to feed these people? Well, in another of the Gospels, he says, send them away, God. Let them go buy their own food. You know, let's get their own stuff. But you know what? He has a challenge that I would call level appropriate. His challenges are always level appropriate. You know, if you're a brand new Christian, I say, hey, I want you to go to India and do a crusade. You know, just that may come, but much later, you know. God's going to have a challenge that's appropriate for your level of maturity and faith. In the Gospel account of Luke, it tells us that he challenged his disciples and told them, you feed them. Andrew, however, saw that a little boy was volunteering his lunch and thought, hey, why not? This is Jesus. A thing they got used to. Hey, Jesus can do great things. However, I want us to look for a second at that little boy. This boy was ready to sacrifice all of his lunch. He wasn't thinking, well, I mean, he's looking, hey, there's 5,000 men here. There's just no way 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are going to go very far. And he was like, that's gone. You know, something prompted that little boy. So we in the ministry, often we feel like the disciples. As more people come, the needs grow and things get more complex. Like I said, these are good problems. But we need God to bring, multiplication, to bring order to the things that we want. But the miracle often does not come from the ministry team. But it comes from someone we might consider the least of us. In this case, it started with a little boy. And I'm just going to ponder a little bit how it happened that day. Maybe it started with his mom. Because we don't hear about his parents. It's not like, oh, like the parents saying, hey, yeah, go ahead and give that food to them. So I'm assuming the parents weren't there. You know? She had heard about Jesus, but could not break away from her routine. So said, Johnny, you go. You go. Here's your lunch. Have a good time. And after a long day, he was like, you know what, I'm set. I got my lunch here. I got my food. He didn't really need anything. And sometimes we're like that. I'm good, God. I'm pretty good. I don't have any real needs. Especially here in America, sometimes we feel like I don't have any major needs. But then God begins to open your eyes to someone else's needs. And then the challenge comes. So he overheard this talk about not having enough food to feed the people. Maybe the disciples are going like, what are we going to do, guys? Jesus is saying we need to make something happen here quickly. And he said, hey, guys, I'll share my 2 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You know, I'm sure one of those things like, oh, tapped them on the head. Yeah, that's how nice of you. Sometimes children are so generous like that. He did not know that Jesus was going to multiply. The little boy didn't know that. Obviously, we have the benefit of seeing it after the fact. But the little boy very likely heard a little voice inside him say, it's okay, just offer what you have. Just offer what you have. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to be inconvenienced and to lose his lunch. He was willing to lose his comfort. And I really want to say that this little boy represents someone out here who may think, though I'm set, I see a need, and I'm willing. I may be set, I may not have a lot of needs, but I'm willing to be inconvenienced. I'm willing, you know, to have some discomfort. But once again, verse 6 says that Jesus was testing them, for he himself knew what he would do. When God prompts us by showing us a need and then asks for a response which requires sacrifice or inconvenience, or for our faith to be stretched, He has it all worked out. It is part of the plan. He's going to factor, you know, your situation, your seeming lack. In Luke, it also tells them, before I do these things, have them sit down in groups of 50. And then it says that He gave thanks. We need the supernatural to come into the situation. And for El to take those little things that we can do, those little things that we can bring, and all of a sudden God can do something beautiful with it. God can bring multiplication. And you're like, how can it be? I don't feel that adequate. But God can use it. God can use it. And as they were pressing the bread and the fish, they didn't notice that it did not run out. But it multiplied, and it kept giving, and it satisfied everyone. Oh, everybody had too much. And not only that, it says they collected all these baskets full of food. You know, and one account says it was 12 baskets. You know, you could say one for His disciple. You know, when you get to minister, so you're the most blessed. You are the most blessed when you're willing to step out and bless other people and serve other people. So this 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they are symbolic as well. Bread represents our nourishment, our physical and spiritual nourishment, but it also represents the words of God. Jesus said, man will not live from bread alone, from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I want to tell you, sometimes I feel inadequate in this area. And I'm sure some of you guys do as well. Maybe all of us. God, I don't know enough of the word to serve. I don't have enough theology. I don't have enough training. Have you ever felt like that? What do I give people? What can I offer people? Fish represent people. Remember, He had told Jesus, I want to make you fishers of men. He had told His disciples that He would turn them into fishers of men. So that's what they're doing here. They're reaching out. But we disqualify ourselves. We don't have enough help. We don't have the right ones. You don't know what kind of fish I am, you may say to God. You might say, I'm a catfish. I'm a bottle feeder, God. I've been eating mud for a long time. I'm not a good fish for you to be fishing for. And that sounds kind of funny, but you know, there's some of us that think, I'm too stained. I'm too dirty. You know? You might be at that place of disqualifying yourselves. I cannot possibly be of use to you, God. And this is for the leaders as well. Sometimes we look so much more at the people that are not here instead of the people that are here. If we only had so-and-so, if only so-and-so had come. But God is saying, all you need is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's a time when what may seem to be not enough will be not just enough, but it's going to be plentiful for what God is going to do. You know, the word says, do not despise small beginnings, because I multiply these things. I'm bringing the supernatural into the equation. And when I'm in the house, you have no lack. You have no lack. So these 2 parts of a meal also represent that which God puts in us long before we even came to Him. I'm talking about our gifts, our abilities, our experiences, our struggles. You may not think of your past as something you can offer God. But you know what? There's some way that God can use all that pain and all that suffering, all the harshness, all those things, and all of a sudden turn them around and bring His blessing upon it. And it begins to bring healing. And it begins to satisfy the people around you if you will just allow Him to use it. So I'm trying to say that there's not one person here who's not qualified to bring the little that they have and to see God multiply it for His kingdom. God was testing him because He Himself knew what He would do. God purposely gives us assignments that stretch us and force us to call on Him. He is our sufficiency. Then He does something amazing with it if we're willing to be inconvenienced. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? You know, like we're saying, what are excuses? I don't have time. I don't have the right training. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been. You know, at a certain point in time, you got to run out of excuses and say, God, if you can use the little that I have, here it is, God. Here it is, God. to Moses, he said, tell me, what is that in your hand? What is that you have? I'm not asking for much. I'm going to be with you. Just tell me, what is that in your hand since you're so doubtful? But the work I'm calling you to, I have already ordained it. You have already ordained it. God was speaking to me about this passage, and he spoke to me also about the passage of the dry bones. You know, all of us are a piece of that body. And we're just flying in from different places and taking our place. You know, and then God is going to supply the bread of life. The breath of life, excuse me, into what we do. We just need to allow him to be God. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just like with Philip, he already knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was doing when he reached you. Some of you have come from every corner of the world. And you're like, what am I doing here in Sierra Vista? Well, I have some news for you. You're here because God wants you to, you know, serve him. He wants you to just bring your 5 loaves and your 2 fish and just say, I don't know, this is not much, but what I have, I'm bringing it in. I'm putting it in the pile. God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? And then all of a sudden you see God's multiplication. And I know largely I'm speaking to the choir because this church is full of great servants. Full of great servants. But this message is for some of you out there who may think, can I truly serve? Am I good enough? I want to tell you, this is the season. This is a season to come together. And to the leaders, I would say, do not think we don't have enough. Because with God, we have plenty. With God, we have plenty. He is supernatural. Hallelujah. He is supernatural. I'm going to show you a need. I want to use you to meet the need. It will inconvenience you. Bring me what you have. Bring me who you are. All of it. I will multiply. I will satisfy everyone. I will get the glory. I want to show you a video. It's about 6 minutes long, so it's a little lengthy, but I want you to be patient. But it just somebody who answered the call. God is going to open your eyes this season to needs. And it may be inside the church, or it may be outside of the four walls, but you have to be willing to be inconvenienced. I love her words that she said, in theory, I'm okay with this, but while I'm doing it, I'm challenged. But she still, let's do this. It is important, you know, just to leave the 99 just for the one. And you know, you don't have to reach out to everyone. You only have to reach out to everyone the Lord's called you to. You know, it may just be one person. But be willing to be inconvenienced. You know, right then when you get that shopping list, or when you're pumping gas, you know, God may just say, hey, go and minister. It's been happening to me more and more. You know, I'll just go to different places. And I find myself praying for people, you know, like a Circle K. Or you're just encouraging someone. And sometimes it's deep, and sometimes it's just a simple, you know, smile, like he was saying. I love to see you smile. And so I want to summarize, you know, this message. There's two parts to this. The first one is Jesus' part. Jesus prepares the scene. He has already worked it out. Prepare all the good works for you, walk into them. He's going to open your eyes to the needs. It is a spiritual thing because we're selfish by nature, but he may just point you in the right direction. You know, we all have a different task ahead of us. But he's going to take what you give, the little bit. You know, whether it's time, money, effort, you know, anything, he can take it. He's going to multiply it. And when you do that, you're going to see how it blesses people. It satisfies many. Some of you are already doing it, and you didn't know you were doing it. You've just been faithful to be, allow God to use you. I see it. I am blessed with it when I see it in the community. You know, I'm just looking at Kylie. I'm very blessed because she is such a giver, you know, everywhere in her
at the hospital, you know, and just very giving. And so I'm proud of you, you know, for doing that. And then there's the part that you do. You need to give them what you have. Just 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Just give them what you have. Accept the inconvenience. You know, it may require more time. In the days to come, when we go into our discipleship process, you know, I'm going to enlist some of you guys to come. Some of you to teach, some of you to learn, to be trained, so that we can in turn, you know, help others. God has told me, and this is a vision moment, that a big component of what we do is connection groups. Connection groups. So much happens in connection groups. And, you know, connection groups come in many forms. There's the established, you know, Bible studies. You know, we used to call them vision groups, home fellowship groups, and all these. But there's also other groups, which I was talking to Pastor Jim about. You know, in the prayer team, when you come together, that is a connection group. You're coming together with one purpose. And, you know, and when a need arises in that group, you know, sometimes some people just say, let's call the office and have the office fix everything. But, you know, sometimes the best people you can call is the people in your small group. I don't know how many times as our connection group we've just rushed out, you know, whether it's prayer, to give, or to surround somebody with grief, or, you know, to help somebody, to take them when their car was broken. It's just what we do, and that is going to be a big piece. So in the vision that we have for Shiloh, there's going to be much training going on in developing more connection group leaders. So just be ready when that time comes. It is going to be, you know, a stretch of faith. It is going to be an inconvenience, but God is saying, I want to use you. And the little that you put in, I'm going to multiply it for my glory. Amen? Amen. We're going to play one more song, and as we're preparing for that, I want to reach out to one more group in this place. And those are the people who you're like, can God really use me? I don't even have a relationship with them. But your 5 loaves of bread, your 2 fish might be just... You need to bring your life to Him. God, I don't have much. I have a lot of sin. I have a lot of regrets. I have a lot of pain. Or I just have a whole life away from You. But today, I want to come closer to You. And I want to just bring You what I have. Jesus, will You do something with it? And He says, thank You. I've been waiting for that. I'm going to take Your life, and I'm going to make sense of it. I'm going to give it purpose. The Word says that God works all things for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. If you are here today, you're not here by a mistake. You're not here by coincidence. It's so that you could hear the message that God can take what little you have, what little you thought of yourself, and He can do something amazing with it. He can do something amazing with it. Even your pain, that will minister to someone in the long run if you will allow Him to do that. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. But if there's anybody here in this room who does not have a relationship with Jesus, you know, because you've never, you know, asked Him to come into your life, or maybe because you walked away, maybe you did have a relationship, a vibrant relationship, but something happened. Maybe somebody hurt you, or just the circumstances surrounding your life caused you to kind of stop coming to church, and all of a sudden you find yourself away from God. If that is you, I want to reach out to you, and I want you to bring yourself to Jesus and to give Him your life. Okay? Hallelujah. God is patient. He's not slack concerning His promise, but He desires that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. When you have believed in your heart, the Word says that you pass from death into life. It says that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And one day when we leave this earth, for whatever reason, it says that you're going to go to live forever with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Saints and angels bow before Your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sit
God is good. Hallelujah. Let's just give a big shout of praise and a good clap offering to God.